It's Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. Good morning, I'm Mitch Teich. Last week, our Precious Lives segment on gun violence in Milwaukee introduced us to a community organizer who's working to change the face of roadside memorials that often spring up in communities in the wake of a murder. Her idea is to take these constant reminders of grief and turn them into positive spaces like gardens. Roadside memorials have become commonplace, not just in Milwaukee, but in many places around the world. But until recently, their significance hasn't been the subject of a lot of academic study. That is changing, though, in part through the efforts of Dr. Shawnee Daniel Sykes. Daniel Sykes, who is also a member of the School Sisters of Notre Dame, is an associate professor of theology and ethics at Mount Mary University. Daniel Sykes explained to Lake Effect's Claire Mosley what first led her to examine those roadside death shrines.
I had a student several years ago, probably about 5 or 6 years ago, that did an undergraduate capstone on death shrines in cemeteries. And I was on her reading team and defense team when she ultimately defended her honors capstone. Mm-hmm. And it really got me thinking, as one who is always interested in life and death issues. I'm an ethicist. Mm-hmm. So those two ends of the spectrum just really capture me. I visit in cemeteries, my loved ones, and find a sense of solace in that because I know that they're in a good place, a place that maybe one day God will call me. And so when I moved home in 2013, I knew of these death shrines in the city because they've been in existence for a long time. Yeah. It's just that I've never paid attention to them. And so one day as I was driving to work, I drove past one and just kind of nonchalantly looked over. I said, oh, okay. And I'm beginning to pay attention.
There's another one.
And then I drove a little further to work, and there was another one. So I went past the first one the next day, and then there was another one erected like the next
day.
Very close. One was on 27th and Burleigh, and the next one was on Burleigh and Sherman. Okay. The next day, I came upon a third one. And I said, okay, wait a minute. What is going on here? Now three is a charm. You know, mm-hmm. You see three, that's Trinitarian for me. I need to stop and check these out and really pay attention because I felt that God was calling me to kind of check this out. So the next day I took my camera and I stopped at the first shrine that I encountered. And that was really getting really weather.
Mm-hmm. It had been there for a while.
The balloons were, you know, sagging. The teddy bears were looking pretty bad. But I took photographs of that. And then I went ahead and got the second set on the Sherman Burleigh corner right across the street from the BP gas station. And there was a woman sitting there. And she looked at me and she asked me, she said, do you know my friend who got shot? I said, no. She said, well, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm interested in this shrine here, and I'm just really sorry for whatever happened here on this corner. As I continue to find these shrines, I would take pictures, note the streets that they were located on, and then go to the newspaper or enter to Google mm-hmm. to find the backstory. And so I was able to establish a book. I have a book of photographs with the stories. And then I have a whole listing of deaths that happened in like 2013, 2014. Sometimes I find myself going back then to mm-hmm. see if these shrines are still there or not, or remnants, or has someone fixed them up. And I started paying attention to what those shrines and consisted of. It's a lot of similar themes, you know, the teddy bears, mm-hmm. right, or the plush-stuffed animals, the balloons, the votive candles. So I spent some time at Marquette's Library really looking at some of our history, our African history, African-American history, many of the artifacts in those shrines that are symbolic of a birthday party or some kind of celebration of life.
Yeah.
And I found it curious that these same symbols were a part of the memorial, the celebration of a death. And I began to wonder about that whole notion of celebrating death as a sense of hope, of mm-hmm. course, you know, because yeah. we're Christians and we believe in a paschal mystery of Jesus's life and death and resurrection. There's hope in the resurrection if we're Easter people. So that's where the whole issue of, okay, let me look at these shrines from more of a cultural consciousness contact, Black spirituals, Black spirituality,
yeah.
The double code messages that are in some of these pieces. And then reflecting on the amount of deaf shrines and then begin to looking at them as memorial acclamations.
Mm-hmm. How did you approach these sites? How did you go up and say, can you tell me about this? Or how gentle did you have to be?
Oh, yeah. It's a very, very gentle piece. And the other thing that the other thing before I answer your question is you can't touch the stuff in the site, you know, the artifacts.
No.
I don't want to say stuff, but the artifacts, the objects. I found myself at one of the sites because the teddy bears had turned over and there was a candle that had fallen over. And I'm over picking up the candle, kind of straightening out the site so that I could take the picture. All of a sudden, somebody yelled out the window, leave the stuff alone. And he didn't use the word stuff. He used the
something
other word.
Else.
Yeah,
okay.
Right. So it kind of jarred me. I left the items alone, took the photographs, and left. Because I didn't know what I had walked into or what I had insulted. But I learned not to touch the shrines.
Okay.
So if people are at the shrines, relatives, friends, neighbors, I usually go approach the shrine and kind of look. You know, before I start taking pictures and just kind of it's a quiet reflection, thinking about the person. What I began to do is to find out a little bit of the backstory of the shrine before I went to it. So if it was a male or female or a child whose life was lost here. Mm-hmm. Most of the shrines were tragic deaths of African-American males or Latina males or what have you. And then I would slowly take my camera out and start taking pictures on different angles.
Mm-hmm. Make sure you had taken in what happened.
Yeah.
Make sure if there was anyone around, you gave them space.
That's right.
Respected what was going
on.
That's
right. Yeah. And sometimes if there were families sitting at the shrine, they would ask me to take a picture of them in the shrine. So I would send the photo to them.
So it's almost like they're with that loved one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Very, very awesome.
So we've mourned. Let's say we've mourned. It's happened. It's months later. We've set up our shrine. The teddy bears are sagging. The balloons are sagging. What are those people doing to make a change?
Yes.
Have you seen any of those families actually fight against what killed, what hurt their loved ones? Because now we see these police shootings.
Yes.
And the families are marching. They're rallying their communities. They're getting everybody in that city to fight for them. But we have these death shrines from people who were hurt from somebody in the neighborhood,
or
rival this, that, and the other, and then we're just done with it.
They're done with it, yeah. No, I don't think that there is enough protest around that. And that's the move that I have in my work.
With this.
With this. And I allude to it quite a bit,
you
know, in terms of my paper, that the Second Amendment discussion is just
all over the place.
It's split, and it's all over the place, right?
Yeah.
And so what do we need to do in terms of some design thinking? You know, what do I wish? What do I want? What I wonder? What I like? And we need to do some creative thinking around, and we can do that.
Yeah. How so?
Okay. Basically, what we need to do is move into this empathetic piece as people. We need to move into this empathetic piece. And then we need to ideate. We need to kind of look at, okay, what are all the ways that we can address this issue? Protest, bearing witness is one.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at some education around this popular religiosity with the shrines and the artifacts. Looking at the history of the Second Amendment and what that means in terms of having a well-regulated militia, you know, and the right to bear arms. What does that mean? What did that mean back in the 1790s when it was ratified? What does it mean for us today? Where were African Americans and Native Americans and Latinas in that discussion? Who was that discussion for? Okay. I think we need to back up a little bit to look at the historical context. And I think we can draw on philosophers and historians and theologians and social scientists to help us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we also need to parallel that, though, with, you know, what's the larger picture in terms of oppression in our society?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about racial, economic, social class oppression.
Yeah.
And that extensive piece that is embedded in the United States of America, because we're going to always have the class, the super wealthy, the rich, the middle class, the poor. Okay. But I also want to say that if we have the heartbeat of the city of Chicago, city of Milwaukee, city of Atlanta,
Boston,
city of
St. Louis,
all of them, that have the death, the heart attacks that are happening, the death that are happening. Mm-hmm. If this were transplanted into other areas of affluence, of wealth, of neat lawns, of education, of affluence, we wouldn't have Deshaun.
Yeah.
Not in the numbers that we have, and not for the reasons that undergird what we have. I had a relative that was shot last year.
Really?
And a big shrine on 29th and Locust was erected for her.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. So it hits home.
How did your family react to that? Did you bring something to the shrine?
No, actually, I did not. The shrine was, when I got to the shrine, what I did was I wrote something on the
poster
board. Yeah, that was there. There was a lot. There was like four poster boards, lots of teddy bears, pictures. She's in the middle with her child.
Oh,
it was just, yeah.
Heart-wrenching.
It hit home.
It's funny to think that. Because you've become so numb to it, people have become numb to it. Now when you see one, you're almost like, you know, who's got the best shrine now?
Oh, wow. Then they're elaborate.
Those shrines
are elaborate.
Yeah, a lot of detail going on.
A lot of details going on in there. Yep,
And you can see the difference between a child and an adult.
Yes, you can.
And
yes, you can. A teenager.
You say in this piece, there remains too much silence around this issue among church offices in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. Can you speculate? As to why?
Yes, I can speculate. You know, I share my research with my students.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on where my students are socially located in the city or the larger metropolitan area, some live with the shrines in their neighborhoods and others have not seen the shrines.
Yeah.
Many times it's where people live. If they don't live in the city, they're not going to be bombarded by it.
Right? Not at all.
And it's not going to be affected by it. But if you live in the city, you will see them. I mean,
you know what it is.
You know where they are. You know where it is. It's interesting that on the one hand, some of my students are like, I've never seen this before. Oh, my God. What?
Bliss.
Yes. And so my speculation is perhaps people don't get into the city.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're in this driving through the city, maybe they're not paying attention. They're trying to get through the city.
Yeah, or they're going through that popular strip.
That's right.
The fun parts.
Right, like
the bright spots.
The bright spots, right, and not going into the back streets of the city of Milwaukee.
Okay. You're not really getting the face of Milwaukee.
That's
You're just
right.
getting what they put on those posters.
That's right.
They've just never interacted with these things. They've never seen someone who's gone through tragedy.
That's right. And they'll tell you that.
And they'll tell you that. They'll be honest. No, I don't know what that is. And what can we learn from these roadside memorials?
Right.
What can that kid who has never seen that, what are they going to take from that?
What I tell my students, if you are serious about wanting to learn and to be present and to explore outside of your comfort zone, come with me. I'll walk with you through the inner city.
Yeah.
I live there. I know it. And so I am preparing for classes to teach in 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
So my students have in my faith and community class, they have an assignment where they have to go to a church or synagogue or mosque or temple or any kind of worship service that's outside of their familiar one. So, of course, I'm going to have someone who's going to say, or ones who, can I go with a partner? Because I've never done that before. Or I'm nervous or I'm scared or whatever. So, and then you know, the Catholic piece is pretty obvious. Mount Mary is a Catholic university, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I go to St. Martin de Porres Parish on 1st and Burleigh, 3rd and Burleigh there. And I had a student who basically said, well, where do you go to church? And I said, well, I go to church in the central city, St. Martin de Porres. I've never been in the central city. Can I go with you? And I said, sure. Where do you want to meet me? I said, you can meet me at my house or you can meet me at the church or whatever. Well, what's safe? I said, well, No place is safe.
No place is safe.
But if you'd like to meet me at my house, this is where I am. And so she met me at my house. But then afterward, I showed her around.
To get a familiar
piece of what the stained glass windows were and all of that. So sometimes it's basically taking people on a field trip.
Yeah.
And not in any condescending way, right?
No.
But in a very respectful, loving, educative way. And then have an opportunity to process with them. Do some theological reflection around what you experience, which is what the assignment is all about. So, yeah, that's where one of the things that comes to mind for me is to not just build these shrines, but to have some education around it. And where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? Concretely, empathetically, compassionately, transformatively, where do we go from here? Because we can't keep having these shrines pop up. The emotional pieces allow them to keep being perpetuated.
Yeah.
We got to come to a sense of awareness and stop sleepwalking. Open up our eyes and say, enough. God calls us to a way of being, a good Samaritan way of being, where we pick up people and we take them to the end and we take care of them and nurture them and we get them back going. And that's a community thing.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Daniel Sykes, thank you so much for being here with me.
You're welcome. I'm very happy to have been asked to do this. Thank you for inviting me.
Dr. Shawnee Daniel Sykes is an associate professor of theology and ethics at Mount Mary University and has written an academic paper on roadside death memorials. She spoke with Lake Effect's Claire Mosley.